Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Chof. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We start today's shiur, the second line from the top of Daf Chof, the beginning of the Gemara. Before we learn the Gemara, we glance at the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading, Nosei, the topic heading, Mivneh structural note, because in our Gemara, in addition to the topic at hand, we will also see a series of triangles. Let us explain. So our note says, Kamaichel ben Drusoi, the concept or the stage of cooking known in the Gemara as Maichel ben Drusoi, Nechshav Mevushal Legabi Shloisha Halochas, is considered cooking, a required level of cooking regarding three areas of halacha. One, Gemar Bishul Mibo Yom, as far as Hilchos Shabbos is concerned, it's considered a completion or reaching the required level of an item being cooked on Friday so as to allow its continued cooking on Shabbos. The second area is Bishulei Nochrim, the rabbinic prohibition for a Jew to eat food cooked by a Gentile. Therefore, if the food was cooked a third by a Jew, its continued cooking by the non-Jew will not ruin it. And number three, Heter Shihia Lechalanya Bali Gorof Vekotum. That which we allow an oven to be used without having, and when we say an oven to be used, it's a reference to leaving food on an oven according to the opinion of Chananya, without having to treat the oven, without having to treat the coals, either by scraping them aside or by sprinkling over them a layer of the dirt or ash over the coals. That, of course, will be the lengthy subject at the beginning of the third perek of this Masechta. Let us now turn to the Gemara. The Gemara asks, V'kama, how much is considered what the Mishnah said, Kadesh Yitzu Mibo Yom? In other words, our Mishnah had taught at the bottom of Daf Yutes, Ein Tzoylin Bosor, etc., El Kadesh Yitzu Mibo Yom. One is not allowed to roast meat unless it is roasted while it's still Friday. If it's roasted by Friday, so then one can leave the meat on the fire through Shabbos. So what is the level of roasting that's necessary? So the Gemara answers, Amar Belaz, Amar Rav, Kedei Shiyotsumi Bo Yom Kemaichel Ben Drusoi. Rashi points out, at the beginning of the Gemara commentary, fourth line from the top, Ben Drusoi, Listim Hoyam, he was a thief, Umevashel Bishulo Shlish. And he was accustomed to eating his food one-third cooked. So when we see the term Maichel Ben Drusoi, it's another way of saying one-third cooked. The Gemara continues, Itmar Nami, another reference to Maichel Ben Drusoi as being considered cooked, Omer of Asi, Omer of Yochanan, Kol Shuka Maichel Ben Drusoi, Ein Bo Mishum Bishulei Nochrim. A food that was cooked by a Jew to a third of its cooking level, a third of its cooking, is considered cooked insofar as if a Gentile continues the cooking after that, so it won't be classified as Bishulei Nochrim, and the Jew can then eat from it. As we said, there is a rabbinic prohibition for a Jew to eat food that was cooked by a non-Jew. But if the food was cooked by a Jew to even a third of its cooking level, it is considered okay after that for a non-Jew to continue and complete the cooking process.
Tanya, a Tanaic source, follows, Hananya Omer, Kol Shehu Kamaychol Ventrusoi, any food that's reached that level, a third cooked, Mutter Lashel Salgabi Kiro Afopi She'ein Gerufa Uktumitz Mutter, it is allowed to leave it on a stove, even though the coals in the stove have not been grufa, means scraped out, or ktuma, which would mean covered with ash. So the Rashi points out on Kotum, this is Shitas Rashi, there you may find a machlokis toisus on this topic later on, but Rashi says, Kotum, mefazun efrim milamalo, the coals are sprinkled with ash above them, kedei lahafig chumo, so as to reduce the heat generated by the coals, shelo yosef hevel b'shabbos, so that there is no increased heat on Shabbos itself, v'zeh tafshil shu kemachol ben yosoi lo chayshinun im izbashil v'holech b'shabbos. The food item that's left, or that's reached the third level of cooking, we are not concerned, that we're not bothered by its continued cooking on Shabbos. Once again, according to Hananya, if you have a stove that has food on it that's reached Michael Ben Jusoy, so then there's no necessity of doing grufa or ktuma to the coals, and the food can be left there. The Gemara continues, Ein noisin esapas, and then on the Mishnah continues to say, Rebbe Elazar omer kedei sheyikrom hatachtoin. So the Gemara is focusing on what Rebbe Elazar had said in the Mishnah regarding the leaving of bread in an oven. So he said, you can leave it there provided sheyikrom hatachtoin shelah. The question is, what does the word tachton mean when with regard to bread? Now, we should point out that bread was slapped onto the sides of an oven. So the oven was a type of, call it quasi, it was a cone-shaped structure, or it was narrower on the top and wider on the bottom, so it contained the heat. And on the inside of the oven walls, they would stick clumps of dough that would eventually bake into bread. So when the term that Rebbe Elazar uses, tachton, becomes crusty, what does the word tachton mean? It's all a question of relativity. So he says, Ibailo, the Gemara asks, tachton heich degabi ha'or, is it the bottom of the bread? Because if the bread was slapped on the upper wall of the oven as it curved inwards, so that the bottom of the bread was in effect facing the fire coming from the bottom. So the bottom could be the bottom of the bread as it's slapped on the oven wall. And by the way, when you take the bread out of the oven, that will eventually be the top of the bread. But as it's baking, the bottom could be the bottom that's facing the fire. O dilma tachton means heich degabi. Oh, let's correct ourselves. Tachton, which heich degabi tanur, means the bottom of the bread that's plastered to the oven wall. Does that mean bottom? Because when you take the bread out, that in fact will be its actual bottom. O dilma tachton is heich degabi ha'ur. That's what we explained earlier, before we corrected ourselves. Here it means the bread, the bottom that's facing the fire, which is it's the bottom as it's positioned on the inside of the oven wall. So it's as we said, the bread is facing in an upside down fashion, where the eventually what will be the top of the bread right now is facing the fire, which is on the bottom of the oven. So the question is, what does Rebbe Elazar mean as the bottom? Toshma, the Tanaic source that's brought in to resolve this, says, Rebbe Elazar, Omer kedei sheyikrmu panel hamedu bokin batanur. This is very clear. It has to bake enough that the part of the bread that's pasted, that's stuck to the oven wall, becomes crusty. And it's pointed out that this is, Rashi says, this is a chumrah, because this is a stringency, because the part facing the fire will crust first. So Rebbe Elazar is saying it's not enough that the part facing the fire crusts, but also the part stuck to the oven wall must develop a crust. And only then one could leave it in the oven upon the onset of Shabbos. Mishalshalin es haPesach. My taimo. The Mishnah had said that all that's necessary is to lower the Pesach into the Korban Pesach. That's the lamb or the sheep or the goat that was offered as a Korban Pesach. It's enough to lower it into the fire, Erev Shabbos, lower it into the oven, that is, Erev Shabbos. And that's it. There's no additional level of cooking that is expected. And so the Gemara is asking, why is this enough? My taima, why is it enough to simply have it lowered into the oven on Erev Shabbos, and immediately thereafter Shabbos sets in? Well, isn't there a fear that maybe they'll come to stoke the coals to hasten the roasting? So the Gemara answers, Mishum de b'nei chabura zrizenheim. The Korban Pesach was eaten as part of a group of people. It was assigned to, people would join up to eat the Korban Pesach as a group, and that group, that chabura, was said to be diligent. So they wouldn't allow any one of the members of the group to come to stoke the coals. Hence, we don't concern ourselves with anything more than than it simply being lowered into the oven on Friday, and the rest of the roasting will take place on Shabbos. The Gemara asks, Ha lav hachi, lo, and if not for the fact that the B'nei Chabura's reason, the lowering in would not be enough, the Ha Mamar, but we learned, and we learned this back on Daf Yudches, Gadya, a Gdi, which is a young goat, which is the type of animal that one would bring as a Korban Pesach, Bain Shorik, Bain Lo Shorik Shapir Domi. Whether the oven cover is sealed with some clay, or whether it's not sealed, it's okay. So that this is a general teaching, regardless of it being a Korban Pesach. It's a general teaching that says that this kind of meat is allowed to be put in an oven, Erev Shabbos, and it will roast through Shabbos, it'll get done on Shabbos, even if the oven is not sealed shut. So we see that we're not worried in general about people coming to stoke the coals when you're dealing with Gedi. So why emphasize B'nei Chabura's reason when it's a general halacha? The Gemara answers, Hosam Minsach, the leniency that was just cited is talking about meat that's been cut into its various sections. It's been dismembered. And therefore, a person will not open the tanur on Shabbos. The opening will ruin the roasting of that delicate type meat, this young meat, the gedi meat, what the Gemara calls gadya. Hacha, in the case of the Korban Pesach, lo yiminsach, the Torah says, al roshio v'al kirbo, means the Korban Pesach is to be roasted as a complete animal. In other words, it's not dismembered. And therefore, there isn't any deterrent. It's not as sensitive to the wind that would occur upon opening the oven. Therefore, there is no deterrent to opening the oven and coming to stoke the coals. The only reason that we are lenient with regard to the Korban Pesach is because B'nei Chabura Zrizin Hain. But without that, we would not impose the same or allow for the same leniency as we did in the Gemara citation of Gadya Bein Shorik Bein Lo Shorik. Because here, the animal is complete, and therefore, as we said, is not sensitive to the opening of the oven, and people will therefore not be deterred to open and stoke the coals, if not for the fact that we're dealing with the B'nei Chabura, which are diligent and will watch out for one another. Umachizen es ha'ur b'meduras beis hamoked. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a note on the side, our no say, and we indicate that this is Ad Amud Beis. The topic will keep us, will be involved with this topic until Amud Beis. Hascholas Maduros Be'erev Shabbos. We'll be talking about the starting up of a fireplace, a bonfire on Erev Shabbos. And we'll mention B'Mikdosh in the context of the Beis HaMikdosh, the Beis HaMoked, and B'Gvulin means outside the Beis HaMikdosh. And we will also notice we have a mivneh heading where a double underline is featured, and you'll notice that Rav Huna and Rav Chisda in the Gemara receive this marking. They represent Shnei Deos Lahazbir Loma Mekilim B'Meduras Beis HaMoked. We'll see two opinions why there is a leniency that we saw in the Mishnah regarding that particular fireplace. The term Ma'achizin, Rashi had said on the Mishnah, is Me'at Me'at, just a little bit of the bonfire or the fireplace getting started. Is enough, and it's just started a little bit on Erev Shabbos, and the rest can take hold on Shabbos, and we're okay with that. So the Gemara, Mino Hani Mili, from where do we know that in the Beis HaMikdash it's enough to do what the Mishnah calls Ma'achizin, which is just a little bit of the burning getting started? Omar Rav Huna cites a pasuk, Lo Sivaru Esh Bechol Moshvo Sechem. And he infers, Bechol Moshvo Sechem Yatom Avir, in your homes, outside the Beis HaMikdash, it's forbidden to burn fires. Aval Atom Avir B'Meduras Beis HaMokeid. But with regard to the fireplace in the Beis HaMokeid, that is okay. Well, Maskif Lo Rav Chisda Yehochi Afidu B'Shabbos Nami. If that be the case, if you're citing this pasuk as a basis of leniency, so then you can even start the burning on Shabbos itself. Elo Omar Rav Chisda, Kro Ki Asa, the pasuk that says Lo Suvar Shepol Moshu Esechem, from which we infer that in the Beis HaMikdash it's okay, that's Lemishri Evorim Uvdorim Hudasa, that's to allow the burning of the limbs of sacrifices throughout Friday night. In other words, the innards of sacrifices that you didn't finish burning Erev Shabbos, you can have them burned throughout throughout Friday night. Those are Evorim Uvdorim, Evorim of the limbs, and Dorim the innards of Korbonos that were not offered, that were not burnt on Friday. You have a heter from the Torah to burn those things on the Mizbeach throughout Shabbos night. Now, what about the Beis HaMokeid? As far as that's concerned, the Gemara says, "Ukayhanim zrizin heim." The Kayhanim are diligent, and that means that if you just get the fire started a bit Friday, don't worry about anyone inflaming the fire on Shabbos itself, because the only ones who were there in the Beis HaMokeid were the Kayhanim, and they are diligent. Ubigvulin kidei shete'echoz ha'ur berubo. The Gemara asks, "My rubon, when you say enough, when you're outside the Beis HaMikdash for a madura to be allowed, for a fireplace to be allowed, you'd have to have the majority burning erev Shabbos." So here we have to define, what do you mean by the majority? So we have two opinions. You have Rav and Shmuel. We've underlined their names. Amar Rav, Roiv Kol Echod VeEchod. The majority of each log. In other words, one, according to this approach, one should not say it's not enough if the majority of the numbers of logs are burning, but the majority of each log must be burning in order to allow the continued burning on Shabbos. Ushmuel Amar, Kidei Shelo Yomru Hove Eitzim VeNaniach Tachtehem. Shmuel explains what rove is. It means it reaches a stage of burning that one will not say, bring in some more tinder to keep the fire burning. In other words, it's reached a level of burning that it will continue burning on its own. Tana Rav Chiya, L'siyei L'Shmuel. Rav Chiya presents a Tanaic source that supports Shmuel. It says, Kidesh te shalheves oilame leha. This source is taught in the context of the burning of the wicks, the burning of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. The Pasuk says, Lahalos ner tamid. How much preoccupation or burning must the Kohen who's lighting the menorah do when it comes to lighting of the menorah? So the source says, enough that the wick will continue burning on its own. And not that the flame will need some other means of assisting its burning. So the point is that when something is burning on its own, that's considered the required level of burning. And what we've done is simply used this as a basis for explaining Shmuel and the Mishnah that's the necessary level of burning to allow a fireplace to continue burning through Shabbos. As long as Erev Shabbos, it's reached a level that it will continue burning on its own. Eitz Yechidi. Rashi, in presenting this, uses a French word, and in one of the Sforum that explains the French words of Rashi, he explains it as a stump, or it's possibly a singular log. Rav Omar Rov Ovyo V'Amilo V'Rov Hekefo. There are two versions as to how much would be required of its burning to get started on Erev Shabbos to allow it to continue burning through Shabbos. So the first version is the majority of its diameter, Rov Ovyo, its thickness. The Amrilo, the second version is the Rov Hekefo, is Rov, the majority of its circumference. Omar Rav Papa, Hilkoch Bo'inon, Rav Papa, in character with comments that Rav Papa makes in numerous other places, he says, well, let's require both. You need to have Rov Ovyo, Ubo'inon, Rov Hekefo. We'll require both in order to allow the log to continue burning through Shabbos. Ketanoi, the issue of Hekefo versus Uvyo is a machlokes tanoim. Rav Chiya Omar, and don't wait for the words of Ovyo or Hekefo to appear, but equivalent standards will appear shortly. So the source begins, it says, Rav Chiya Omar, kidei shiyishchas ho'eitz mimoleches ha'uman. Literally, it would mean that the log has to be at a level of burning that it can no longer be used for being made into something else. And that would be Rov Ovyo, Rov of the diameter, of the thickness. Rabbi Yudah ben Besera Omer, kidei she'te'ochez ho'esh mishnei tzdodim. Enough so that the fire takes hold from its two sides. That would be Rov Hekefa, the majority of its circumference. V'afapi she'en raya ledovar, zecher ledovar. Even though we don't have an expressed, we don't have expressed proof of this, but there is an indication of this, that once the majority of the circumference is burning, it will continue burning on its own. The pasuk says, "Eshne kitzoysov ochlo ho'esh." V'tocho nohor ayitzlach lemalocha. So the Rashi explains here. You'll see. He says shnei kitzoysev ochlo eish. Rashi appears about five lines before it gets wide. Biyodua. We should also point out that Rashi just before this on shnei tzdodov is Rov Hekefo, as we said before. Shnei kitzotsev ochleish biyodua shetocho nochor veholcho leicho sheloi v'nase yovesh. That if its two sides have become consumed by the fire, so the inside has become dried out, and that's enough, as we said, to ensure its continued burning. The pasuk is cited by the Gemara v'ha'och lefonov mivo'ores. In the Tanakh it says ve'es ha'och lefonov mivo'ores. My och, what does the word och mean? Omar Rav. Rav says achvino. Achvino, Rashi explains as arova. They sometimes translate it as a willow. The arova, though, as we've pointed out many times in our Gemara markings, we don't like to offer literal translations to many things, but Arova, many of you are familiar with it in the context of the lulav. The Gemara continues, Shmuel Omar, Shmuel says that the word ha'och isn't a reference to a specific plant, but rather eitzim shenidliku be'achvina, wood that has been burned one next to the other. Rashi says, kol ha'eitzim nidlokim zeh mizeh ha'koton madlik es ha'godol, where one piece of wood causes the next piece of wood to burn, where the smaller, more inflammable type wood ignites the next larger piece of wood and burns. The Gemara continues, Hahu de Omar Lahu Man Boy Achvina. There was a case where someone was calling out, who wants Achvina? Ishtakach Arvasa. And it turned out that what he was trying to sell or distribute was Arvasa. So you see the word Achvina is what we explained before, a reference to the Arova. Omar Rav Huna. Here you see items that we've highlighted with a double underline with the dots between them. Two items. There's konim and garinim. Konim are reeds. Garinim are date pits. And we're going to present these two materials, which were used as fuel in the context of our Erev Shabbos discussion. How much, what level of burning are we requiring in order for the continued burning to be allowed on Shabbos? Omar Rav Huna, konim ein tzrichim roiv. Konim that are, let's say, they're not tied together, they're mufuzorim, they're scattered, they do not require a majority. Ogdon, if you bind them together, Tzrichin Rov, then a majority of them will be necessary. If we look at Rashi, on the second line under the Gemara text, Ein Tzrichin Rov, this is a case of the konim that are mefuzarim. You don't need Rov, lehotzis es ur beruban, to have the fire ignited amongst the majority, Erev Shabbos, ela machiz b'hena ur machis, bohen ur mibol yom. You saw the word machis meant just a little bit. All is that's necessary is a little bit needs to be ignited on Friday. Lefi she'en kovin v'hochim ela dolkin v'hochim. They don't gradually go out, or rather they continue burning and burning. However, if you have the konim, the reeds are bound together in what's called an eged, ogdon is to tie them together. They're tied in a bundle. So the Gemara says, this is Rav Huna's opinion, Srichin Rov. Rashi says, Lefi she'en shalheves yocholi kones b'nehem. Because the flame cannot get in between them. They're rather tightly compacted, so that you can't rely on the little bit of flame that takes hold, but rather you have to have the majority burning. That's as far as Rav Huna's relation to konim. Now, garinim, these are date pits, ein tzrichin rov, just like he said by the konim, by the individual konim, you don't have to have the majority burning, so too by the date pits, which we said is a fuel, if they're not packed together, you don't need to have rov burning. Noslan b'chosolos, tzrichin rov. If you place them in chosolos, chosolos are vessels that are made of palm leaves, and if you packed these date pits into one of these vessels, the flame cannot get between the date pits, therefore you'll have to have the majority burning. Maskif law Rav Chisra. Rav Chisra takes issue with Rav Huna's presentation and says, Adarabah, just the opposite. Adarabah, ibcha mistabra, the contrary is more likely. Konim, individual reeds, mivdaran, they can get scattered or spread out, one far from the other. So therefore, if one of them is burning, it's not going to help the next one to burn. And therefore, if you don't bind them together, we should require rove of individual reeds to be started, the majority to be started Erev Shabbos. Ogdon lo mivdoron, but if they're bound together, they don't scatter, and just a little bit of fire taking hold should be enough. And the same analysis he applies to the garinim, the date pits, garinim mivdoron, nostan b'choysalos lo mivdoron. Itmar nami, well, the Gemara says, brings another opinion in, and the word nami usually means it's been stated likewise. In this case, however, the likewise is not a, let's say, a repeat or duplication of one of these opinions, but rather it's a type of compromise between the two opinions. So the Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, Omar Rav Kahana, Konim She'ogdon Tzrichin Rov. Now, where did we see the binding of reeds and hence a requirement of majority? That we saw by Rav Huna's presentation of Konim. Lo Ogdon Ein Tzrichin Rov. If you didn't bind them together, so then there's no need for Rov. That is Rav Huna's approach to Konim. So Rav Kahana accepts that. Garinim, now, with regard to the date pits, if they're not compacted in a vessel, then Tzrifin Rov. Then you will require a majority. That means if there is scattered date pits, you require the majority of them to be burning. Nostan b'choysolos, if they are compacted together, Ein Tzrifin Rov. Now, where did we see a shita like that, that said that the garinim, if they're in chosolos, they don't require a rov? That we saw as Rav Chisda's presentation. So Rav Kahana strikes a type of compromise where he accepts Rav Huna's approach to konim, and he accepts Rav Chisda's approach to garinim. Tony Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef presents a Tanaic source, Arba, Meduras, Ein, Srichen, Rov. There are four types of fireplaces. Literally, it's the Meduras is the fuel in the fireplaces where we will not require a majority. In other words, we will be lenient. They are, if they're fueled by Shel Zephis, Vishel Gophers, Vishel Kira, Vishel Revav. If they're fueled by Zephis, is a type of material. It could be translated possibly as pitch. Gophris is a type of flammable material. Sometimes it's translated as sulfur. Vishel, here we're going to use the suggested alternative girsa. You find in the Gra has a girsa of the Rif here. Kira would be wax. Vishel Revav is Shuman, Rashi says, that's what Rashi says, fats. B'masnisotana, there's a Tanaic source that says, Af shalkash v'shalvova, that a madura that's fueled by kash. Kash is straw, and gvova is stubble. Omar v'yochanan, Eitzim shalbovel ein tzrichin rov. Literally, the wood of Bavel doesn't require a majority to be burning Erev Shabbos. Maski flor of Yosef, my he. What do you mean by that? E lemo silti. Rashi takes the word silti and explains, le'achar sh'asom eitzim dakin. If silti would be something very, after logs are ground down or chopped down into small pieces of wood. So if the reference is to silty, that you don't, if that's what's being fuel, if that's what's serving as the fuel, these eitzim dakim, then that can't be. Hashto psilo amar ula hamadlik tzof shiadlik barov hayotze. Mind you, a wick which is soaked in oil and it burns easily. Yet Ula says, if you're lighting your Neiros Shabbos, your Shabbos candles, you have to make sure that the majority of the wick that's outside of the oil is burning. Silti mibaya. The silti is less flammable than the psila that we just mentioned. So certainly you would require a rove. So what was meant by Rav Yochanan's statement of Eitzim Shabbava Ein Tzrichin Rove? Elo Amar Rav Yosef, Shucha de Arza. Let's take a look at Rashi. Shulchan Arza, Yoveshu, Vidak, Vyesh, Kamin, Semer, Ben Klipo, Leitz, Vahu, Mav, Iroi, Misha, Ochso, Bo, Ha'ur. Arza, Erez is a type of wood. So this is a reference to the wool substance, woolly like substance that exists between the bark and the wood itself. And if when that starts burning, it will continue burning. It seems to be very flammable, this shucha di arza. And at that point, it will, as we said, it will continue burning. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan was referring to when he said, Eitzim shalbava, ein tzrichin rov, specifically, as long as the woolly substance between the bark and the wood starts burning, that's enough. Rami bar Abba Omar Zaza. And Zaza, Rashi simply gives us a French word, so we'll just have to leave it like that for the time being, that Rabbi Yochanan was referring to Zaza when he mentioned the Eitzim Shebovel Ein Tzrichin Roiv. That is the conclusion of the first parak of Shabbos, and we now lead into the second parak of Shabbos with a Mishnah. And in fact, the entire parak may be familiar to many of you as part of the Friday night service, in that we many practice reading this paragraph in their Shabbos, their Friday night Shabbos davening. Bame madlikin uvamo ein madlikin. With what substances can you light things? And with what substances, no. When we talk about substances, we have to be aware we're going to be talking about wicks and fuels. So the Mishnah opens up, and we have, you can see that we have a diamond in our markings. The diamond helps to split the Mishnah, as the Gemara itself will do. The Gemara will point this out, that the first section of the Mishnah, the first list, if you will, is dealing with wicks. And the second diamond introduces the fuels. So the Mishnah tells us the following is ein madlikin. One cannot use as a wick lo belechesh v'lo bechosim v'lo bechalach v'lo besvil su'idam v'lo besvil hamidvar v'lo beokesh apnei amoyim. Now we read that rather quickly. The Gemara will pause to explain each one of these items. We continue loy bezefes, and the Gemara makes a point that from this point on, we're dealing not with wicks anymore, but rather with fuels. Fuels other than, these are things one is not to use. Lo b'zefes, v'lo b'shaiva, v'lo b'shemen kik, v'lo b'shemen srefa, v'lo b'adav, v'lo b'chelev. Nochem amodi omer, madlikin b'chelev mevushal. He says you can use chelev, animal fats that were cooked. The chachamim omerim echad mevushal, v'echad she'eno mevushal, ein madlikin bo, and the chachamim are restrictive. Lechesh, the first item mentioned one should not use. Shucha de arza. The Gemara asks shucha de arza eitz ba'almahu. Well, shucha de arza we think is simple wood, and of course you don't use wood. Wood isn't a wick. The Gemara answers ba'amrenisa de is bay. We're referring to the woolly substance in the arza tree, and we just finished speaking about that at the end of the first parak. And in order to help you find where that was, we have a double star to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the double star above. So the woolly substance is something that could be in theory could be made into a wick, but one should not use that for a Shabbos wick, let's say for lighting Shabbos candles, because it doesn't burn very well. And we're very concerned here with materials that don't burn well. One will then, if he uses them, he'll come to fiddle around with the candle, with the burning candle on Shabbos, and get involved with the problem of mavir, of causing burning to take place on Shabbos, and that's forbidden. Continuing, v'lo b'choisen, what is that? Omar Rav Yosef, ne'uris shel pishtan. Pishtan is flax, the flax plant. Ne'oiras shel pishton is the debris that is separated from this plant. Omar le Abaye. Abaye questions Rav Yosef's explanation of Choisen as being the Ne'oiras shel pishton by saying Voksi v'hoya hachosen l'ne'ores. It says in the pasuk that the Choisen, the Chason, will turn to Ne'oras, indicating that they're not one in the same. Ela Omar Abaye, Kisna de Dayek velo nofitz. This is a reference to Kisna is Pishton as the flax that's been crushed, but hasn't been unraveled or hasn't been combed. And since it hasn't been combed, so the oil doesn't draw after it, isn't drawn to it very well, and that leads to the problem we mentioned before, as why we do not use it as a wick. The flame simply will not burn well, and that will cause the person to get involved with it, trying to make it burn on Shabbos. V'lo bekelach, Amar Shmuel, shaltimu l'chol nichusi yoma. I asked all of the seafarers, the Amri li, and they told me kulcha shmei, that kelach is called kulcha. Rav Yitzchok bar Zira Amar gushkira. We look at Rashi gushkira, psolis shalmeshi. He'osui kekovoim, v'hu beis hatolas. It's debris in the preparation of silk, and it has a hat shaped image formed to it, and it's the beis hatolas. It's where the worm, maybe the cocoon, possibly a reference to the cocoon that the silkworm is found in. And Rashi goes on to elaborate on this, and he brings a French word, this French word, the noivtsim oisoi, the tovehu, the oisumimenu beged. It could be unraveled and made into clothing. The osulasus menu psila, one should not make it into a wick for Shabbos purposes. Kidomar, bechol psule psilos demasnisin, regarding all of the different unfit, disqualified substances for wicks, sha'ur misach seches b'hen, the flame will flicker, koifetzes v'nifsekes v'ein ha'shalheves omedes b'mukomad. It creates a flickering type flame that jumps and it appears to go on and off, and therefore one cannot use it on Shabbos. We in order for something to be mutter on Shabbos, it has to be a clear, continuous burning wick. And this substance doesn't meet the standard. We continue in the Gemara with a new marking. We have a triangle with a colored in tip, and on the side under our Mivne heading, we explain Shnei Maisim im Rovin Vabai, two incidents involving Rovin and Abaye, Akshurim, Luchomrim, Muskorim, Bemishna, Benim, Psilos. These incidents have to do or connected to the materials mentioned in the Mishnah in the context of wicks. We'll talk about Kelach and Psilos Ha'idon. The Gemara. Rav and Abaye have yasvi kameid Ravno Nechemya Achvo de Reish Gelusa. Rav and Abaye were seated in the presence of Ravna, who happened to be the brother of the exilarch. Chazi v'have lovish metaksa. So they saw that he, this Ravna Nechemya, was wearing metaksa. It's a type of clothing, of material made of kelach. Amalei Rav and Abaye, hainu kelach desnan. Oh, he pointed to this. That's kelach that is mentioned in the Mishnah. Amale, so Abaye says, Anan shira franda karino le. We call that shira franda. Mesve, the Gemara raises an objection and says, Hashiroim veha kelach veha sirikin chayovin betzitzis. There's a list of different materials that you see here as being, if they're made into a four-cornered garment, you would have to put tzitzis on them. But what's important for us is that shiroyim and kelach are listed separately. Abaye said that the kelach is, we call kelach shira frando, but they seem to be two separate distinct materials in this Tanaic source. Tufta. So this is a repudiation of what Abaye was claiming. Iboy, same, another approach. Shira l'chud, v'shira frando l'chud. This is not a repudiation of Abaye. The source mentioned shira, or shiroin, as something different than kelach. That's very true. But shira frondah is a different substance, a different material than shiroim. So shira frondah, that's something separate. And shira frondah is identical with kelach, as Abaye was claiming. Falobu psilos idon. What is that? Achvina. Rashi says, arova, v'yesh kemin semer ben klipo le'etz. So psilos idon is... that a reference to that wool substance between the bark and the wood of the erez, or of the arova, let us say, of the arova. Roven ve'abaye have a ko'azlu bepakso de tamrurisa. They were going in a valley, the valley of Tamrurisa. Chazinu lano arvasa, and they noticed arvasa growing. Amalei roven labaye. Roven says to Bahaini Edon Tisnan. That's the Edon that the Mishnah made reference to. Amalei, Abai says, how can you say that Edon of the Mishnah, which was stated in the context of wicks, is Arvasa? Hahi eats Baalmahu. It's mere wood. And wood isn't made into a wick. Kolach the Achvile, he peeled the outer bark of this Arvasa, and showed him Amrenisa de Beni Beni, showed him the woolly substance between the outer peel of this Arvasa and the inner part of that plant. It was this woolly substance, and that woolly substance could be fashioned into a wick, but one that should not be used on Shabbos. Velobu psilos midbar, what is that? Shavra. And Rashi explains on that, it's a type of long grass. Velo biroka shal pnei hamayim. My he, what is that? I lemo uchmeso de charitzi. Rashi explains, mokom konus mayim godel aleim kemin yarakrukis. A type of a green film that develops on water when the water is stagnant. So if the Yeroka Shepnei Amim is a reference to that, to the green film in stagnant water, well, Ifruchi Mifruchon, you can't make wicks out of that, it simply crumbles. Elo Omarav Papa, Uchmesa Da Arba. Rashi explains, Uchmesa Arba, Sfino, Hamesakeves B'mokom Echod B'mayim, a boat that remains still in water. Godol Yirakrukis Soviv Shulel Mibachus, a type of mossy substance grows around its base from around the outside of the boat, and apparently that's a substance that in theory could be made into a wick, or in practice could be made into a wick, but one does not use it on Shabbos. Tana hosifu alein shel tzemer v'shel se'ar, regarding materials not suitable for wicks, the Tana says they added to the list wool and hair. The Tonodidon, our Mishnah, why does it not make reference to these? Answer, Tzemer Michvatz Kovitz. Wool shrivels up when it's subjected to a flame, and it doesn't burn at all, and therefore the Mishnah felt it's just simply obvious that you wouldn't use wool as a wick, and therefore didn't even bother mentioning it. Se'ar, likewise with regard to hair, ifruchi michrach, it singes, it doesn't burn, and therefore the Tana didn't bother mentioning se'ar as being a psul of psila, something unfit for psila, for wicks. Velo bezephis, the Mishnah mentioned not to use zephis. Zephis is known in Aramaic as zifta. Shaiva equals kirusa. Shaiva is wax. Tana, the Tanaic source, explains what we mentioned when we were learning the Mishnah and made reference to our diamonds. Ad kan psu psilos. Up till the Yeroika shal pnei mayim, the Mishnah was dealing with things not fit for wicks. Mikan ve'elech, but beyond that point, when the Mishnah said velo bezefes or shaiva, etc., mikan ve'psu shmonim. That's a reference to different fuels. Rashi explains, Mikan v'psu shmonim, shelo yitein chaticho zephes o shaivo banir b'mkoyim shemen. A ner is a receptacle that holds a wick and oil. So one should not put a piece of zephis or shaiva where he would ordinarily put the oil. The Gemara reacts to this Tanaic source and says, Pshita, well, it's obvious. By noticing the materials, the first section are wick-related, and the second section are obviously not wick-related, but rather fuel-related. So why did this Tanaic source have to spell out what it did? Answer, Shaiva itzterichalei. The case of the wax was necessary. So wax was taught under the list of unfit fuels. So what we are being taught here is mal detema. One might have thought the psilos nami lochazia, to use wax as a wick. And surprisingly, this is a reference to what we're familiar with, our candles. What are our candles? They are a string or a piece of wick material that is surrounded with wax, and in effect a long or thick wick, if you will. So had the Mishnah, had this Tanaic source not made this distinction, pointing out that the second part of the Mishnah was a reference to fuels, so I would have thought you can't use wax whatsoever, even as a wax candle. That's mal detema lipsilos nami lochazia, that you wouldn't be allowed to use wax in the form of a candle either. Komash malon, this source is telling me that wax cannot be placed in an oil lamp in place of the oil. That's what's not allowed. But to take a string and coat it with wax, forming a candle as we know it, that is quite all right. And that's what this Tanaic source conveys, that the shaiva is no good only as a substitute for the oil, but as forming it into what we call a candle, which in effect is a thick wick. That's okay. Omar Rami Bar Oven Itrana Psuta Dezivta Itran, which we saw in the Mishnah, is the psoles of zephis. The Rashi here, psota de zifta, la'achar shiyotzei zephis min ha'etz, when the zephis, which comes from trees, when it's finished coming forth from the tree, zov mimenu al yedei ha'ur, psoles tzolul kishemen v'hu itran. When the zephis is subjected to heat, to fire, there's a liquid, clear liquid that exudes forth from it. Tzolul kishemen, it's clear like oil, and that's the itran that the Mishnah makes reference to. Of course, when we speak about the Mishnah, we're referring to the Mishnayos in this perek. Likewise, the Gemara says, Shaiva is psoto de dufsha. It's psoles is the debris or the leftover from honey production. So we might very well refer to that as beeswax. The Gemara at the top of Chof Aleph says, Lamai nafgamina, of what benefit is there for me to know this distinction? Answer, Lamekach u'memkar, for business purposes, for transactions. If someone bought shaiva, he should be given psoto de dufsha, and that would be in conformity to what shaiva really is, psoto de dufsha. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.